Okay. Just opening up my agenda. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, Deputy Minister Kivit, Acting DG, and your team, our support team from the Parliament, guests and everyone who is watching our Portfolio Committee today, greetings to you all. We have
recording in progress.
We may experience challenges of being kicked out and we'll come back if we can due to the national crisis that we all know of load shedding. But good news is that we have had President cutting short his visit to New York, and again, there will be an urgent cabinet. I don't know whether it was last night or today, but it shows the willingness and to resolve the crisis by our president, His Excellency Cyril Ramaphosa. So we're looking forward in hearing the good news either today or tomorrow that will ensure that this load shedding is a thing of the past. But because we're still living with it now, let's try to maximize the climb a tree if possible, as I was like doing so yesterday. Go to wherever the network is not challenging you, so that you can hear what we are currently doing in the meeting, or you can participate fully. Our meeting today, we requested this meeting because in one of the reports, in fact, not one, many reports that we have received, we have been told by the department that there are so many unused properties that are lying around in South Africa in almost all the provinces. And we know that the owner of government properties is none other than Public Works. So we want today to get a briefing from the department, and that they must inform us as the portfolio committee what new ways can they use to leverage on these properties to prevent its destruction and dismantling of these properties. We know some of them are illegally occupied. I think in one of the reports that we got from IGT, yeah, I think it was IDG. They even said that was it ISA or IDG? But they even said that if these properties can be maximally used, the government can also cut on leasing funds, because the department is leasing buildings all over South Africa, but there are buildings that are lying, they're not being utilized. It can also generate revenue from leasing out those properties that are lying there unused. But we will hear from them today what exactly is happening, what means will they use to ensure that they resolve the matter at hand. With those few words, honorable members, welcome you in this meeting. The apologies that we have received, it's the one of the minister, Minister Delil, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Van Staden. Any other apology, Ms. Martinise, if you are in the... Ms. Martinise has indicated that she has serious challenges of network today. Ms. Martinise?
Thank you, Chairperson. The only one that you may have missed from the list is the acting DG. He sent a letter as well to say he's not going to be able to attend this meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Then can we then hand over to DM as she's the leader of the team today?
Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, I can see on my side that the picture is quite dark. There's nothing else I can do. I've tried to switch on the lights. It doesn't help. But a good morning to yourself as chair, the honorable members, the support team, the DDGs that are with me today from the department and the support team from the department. A good morning to all of us. Chair, let me first appreciate your opening remarks. Indeed, that cabinet is held this morning. That's where Minister is this morning. And also the acting DG is not with us because he has to divide himself between SCOPA and supporting minister in the cabinet, because we are also taking some report to cabinet today as a department. And therefore in the team, I'm accompanied or supported by the responsible DDG, Ms. Nyeleti Makubela, and a team of officials that she works with. So without wasting time, let me appreciate the opportunity to brief the committee on the subject matter. Indeed, Chair, this meeting taking place during Heritage Month, I could not note that actually this day has a very important significance in what you are doing as members of parliament, holding the executive to account, owing to the sad history that we have. We really must always thank and appreciate the democracy which was fought for and so many died fighting for. And those of us who were able to live both in the apartheid era and the post-apartheid era must always keep in mind where we come from and where we are going to. Because even the talks that were to discuss the future of this country collapsed at some point. But this day is important because it's the day where the late Dr. Madiba and the former President de Klerk agreed on this day to restart those collapsed negotiations. So for us, the fact that we live in a post-apartheid South Africa, we must always keep in mind where we come from. And therefore, the laws that we pass and the laws that we implement must seek to take our nation forward. And therefore, the law that we are dealing with in this presentation today, which is Guyana, it is about land and agrarian reform. It's about sustainable human settlements. It's about rural development. It's about integrated urban development. That's the trust, which is reform. And also looking at those four areas through the race and gender lens, we must always be and make sure that as we dispose of state property, that racial and gender lens is always with us. Ms. Nyeleti is going to respond to the thrust of the purpose of this meeting, which is what we are doing, or the strategies which the department is implementing to optimize the use of unutilized state-owned properties. She will be making the presentation. And with your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I will hand over to Ms. Nyeleti, DDG Nyeleti Makubela, who's responsible for the RISE division. Over to you, DDG. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues that are here today, and good morning, Deputy Minister. Thank you. My name is Nyeleti Makubela. I'm the DDG responsible for Real Estate Management Services, and the state-owned portfolio falls under my branch. We here to make a presentation, Chairperson, on what the department is planning to do, or what the department has been doing to safeguard or to optimally utilize the state portfolio. All right. As I said, Chairperson, we are here to give a report to the portfolio committee on the strategies that the department will implement to optimize the use of its state-owned properties in order to prevent destruction and dismantling, as we have seen in the past, as the Chairperson has already alluded to. In terms of the GIAMA, the property management entity is the custodian of national government immovable assets, a default custodian of unregistered and unsurveyed properties, and we are mandated to provide quality, user-specific, functional accommodation for client departments. Currently, the department is a custodian of about 29,322 registered properties and unregistered land parcels with 93,942 improvements. Of those improvements, we have got 88,300 buildings that are allocated currently to user departments across the country. But if you look at the type of buildings that we're dealing with, it's more the housing. Just one second. Apologies, Chairperson. If you look at the type of buildings that we say they are being used by by user departments currently, it's mostly housing for the Department of Defense and the Department of, the South African Police Services. The supply state-owned properties are estimated to be 5,720, which is what we are going to, which is the properties that we're going to go out and see how we can then secure those properties and make sure that we are able to generate revenue there. Of the 5,720, 5,187 are land parcels and farms, and 533 improvements. In instances where the properties is not required by the state, this is where we're going to make it available to the market for rental purposes or investment. My slides are not moving. Okay. The Minister of Public Works is mandated by Cabinet to develop an overarching policy framework to govern the management of those immovable assets and government, through GIAMA. And GIAMA is intended to ensure that the value of an immovable asset is optimized throughout its life cycle, which encompasses planning, acquisition, operations, and maintenance and disposal of such properties. This is just more background information on what GIAMA is supposed to do. Suitable land that should be released to facilitate the following objectives: land and agrarian reform, sustainable human settlements, rural development and integrated urban planning. Racial and gender inequities should be embodied in the disposal of state movable assets, which is what our disposal policy entails. The objective of our policy is to outline the conceptual framework of the disposal of these assets and develop and provide a framework within which the disposal process is supposed to be executed, and provide framework which enables the department to prioritize preference in respect of the method or beneficiaries of such properties. This is just a list of the prescripts that guiding us in terms of how we're going to utilize these properties. I'm not going to go through them. And then the guiding principles from GIAMA, we take our mandate from Section 5.1e, that when immovable asset is acquired or disposed, the best value of for money must be realized. You will note that currently we do have properties that are being utilized by various individuals or people that have are using their housing, but they're not paying according to the market-related rentals. Many properties were literally just given away for people to take care of the properties on behalf of government. And this is now becoming a problem, as the National Treasury has given us a mandate to then make sure that whenever we're disposing properties or whenever we are leasing out our properties, we're able to charge them market-related rentals. And we'll discuss it later with the following slide. We have written approval from the minister that we must obtain for all disposal. It's not something that officials can do on their own. It must be approved by the executive authority. And as I said, National Treasury has now given us a directive that we cannot let out state property under the market threshold. This is the diagram that just shows the processes that we are following. First, we have identified the process properties that need to be that need to be utilized for this process. And in identifying, although we said there's 5,187 properties that are available, we need to then make sure that we assess the properties to make sure that they are not earmarked for any other government initiative. And this is where the surplus, or at least the word surplus, then applies to make sure that any property that we're going to let out to the market is not earmarked for any government priority. And then there's the physical disposal of those properties. Identifying the surplus, we need to make sure that the asset is no longer required for government for service delivery. It has become too costly to maintain or utilize, and the asset is no longer, this is a repeat. And then we can also use the asset for socio-economic objectives of government. And here, this is where we have identified that it's not just individuals or business that would be interested in such properties. We have noted that there are also non-governmental organizations or not-for-profit organizations that are interested in our properties for socio-economic objectives that will assist government at the end of the day. The assessment, I have already indicated what the assessment is about, whether there are net benefits, either social, financial, or other terms, whether there are secondary service obligations associated with the asset, which dictates its retention, and also consider cultural, historical, and environmental importance that may have been declared a heritage or a conservation site. These are just the ways in which the department can dispose its properties through letting, which is what as the real estate management branch are responsible for. There's also a donation process that we can follow. It's within the department, but under the branch called Real Estate Investment Services. We can exchange properties with other government entities, also under the Real Estate Investment branch. And we can enter into public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships are strategies that is already in place as a department. We have a precinct called Salvocorp, where the department has public-private partnerships, and we have started actually developing some of the properties to accommodate our clients. I think that South Africa is already in there, and we are building facilities for four more national departments, or the headquarters of four more national departments. And this is a long-term plan that is currently running. The following method, we're going to use a public tender for the letting. Going forward, we have developed a circular called Circular 135. It's been a long time coming. The department has tried to advertise these properties previously, but unfortunately, the process that was followed was not approved at the time. We needed to go back to the drawing board and make sure that we had covered all our bases before we advertised the tender. We felt that the assessment of whether those properties are still needed by government for other purposes was not done properly. So the tender was pulled back, but now we have finalized the Circular 135 as I've mentioned, and those properties are going to be advertised. And then there's also the donation that I've also spoken about. And then the call for development proposals, the department is embarking on a strategy called the refurbishment, operate and transfer. The minister has spoken about it widely, and we held a conference in July where we explained how this process of ROT is going to unfold, where we're going to release big properties such as the Telkom Towers, Civitas. For those that know the Civitas building, we used to accommodate the Department of Health there, but they have since vacated the building because of its occupational health and safety issues. And in there, we are asking investors to actually sink their own money in those properties, and then they operate. We will guarantee a tenant for those buildings, and then we'll pay rent to the developers, but the property remains state property, and which will then revert at a later stage when the financials have been then recovered by the investors. And then we also have the transfers between spheres of government. We do receive from time to time, for instance, the City of Cape Town will identify a property that they would like to use for their own government priorities. And in there, we have a way of also identifying another property that we can then transfer between ourselves. To say, or maybe we call it a property swap. We give them a particular property for their development, and then they give us another property as public works. We have in the past received a lot of unsolicited bids for various properties, notably from the coastal properties, where we are receiving a lot of requests to say, can we lease this property? Can we lease that property for various reasons? But like I said, we needed to make sure that those properties are not earmarked for anything else. And this process is unfolding as we speak. We have, for instance, received a big application in Cape Town for about 20 parcels of government land. When we did an analysis of those properties, we realized that 8 of those properties have already been requested by the City of Cape Town. And another 8 of those properties was already requested by the Department of Human Settlements. So for the purposes of that application, we could only look at 4 parcels, which are still big parcels because they've got big plans for that property. And if approved, then that could go forward. Okay, these are the areas of concerns that we have picked up in our analysis. We do have existing leases that are, as I've mentioned earlier, where the rental is below the market. For the people that are occupying those leases and are still interested in leasing those properties, we'll then have to renegotiate all those existing leases and make sure that we get value for money for those leases. There are considerations that there could be other people that are in occupation of those places that may not necessarily be able to pay the market-related rental rates, and this is where the National Treasury will then come in. But that will be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, because not everybody is of the same economic status. Because other people can afford, but we realize that we recognize that there could be other people that may not necessarily be able to afford the market rentals. We also have an issue that we don't market our properties, which is why the Secular 135 was developed, so that we can actually go out on tender and invite investors to say, we do have properties here. We have properties that are in suburban areas. We have got properties that are on the outskirts, and obviously a lot of agricultural land that we think we can increase our revenue thereof. And obviously we need to formalize our partnerships with the municipalities for the administration of state-owned properties. I'll give you an example. We've got South African police services, police stations that are actually owned by municipalities, but are in very bad condition. So we need to engage with the municipalities to see how can we best leverage those properties, whether we do the property swap, as I've indicated before, so that we can be able to improve those police stations and maintain, because currently we are inhibited by law, or at least by our own processes, that we are not able to maintain those properties because they do not belong to the Department of Public Works. And this is just a process flow of what I've been speaking about previously, the identifying of those properties. We have now developed the terms of references. We are ready to go out on tender. After the advert, then we will do an evaluation process. This is where we want to check the impact, the socioeconomic impact of the applications that we will receive, and then we will do recommendations for approval and managing the contracts going forward. This next slide is just a time frame of what is the department, what where we are in the process, so that we can make sure that at the end of the day we are done. And this was necessitated by the requirement that, or at least by the recognition that we've got NGOs, NPOs, and other similar organizations that are also interested in state-owned properties. And we understand that we may not be able to treat them like business because they are not-for-profit organizations. And in the end of the day, they are looking at the same socioeconomic issues that the department is dealing with. The first three dates have now passed, and we have met those milestones. And now we are busy consolidating input, and then we'll make sure that the circular is approved by the Director General by the 30th of September, and then we implement the circular going forward. It must be noted that there is a circular already approved last year, and in the process of trying to implement that process, it was identified by our minister that we need to expand the circular to make sure that includes this organization. And this is what this process is all about. For the existing tenants, this is what we are planning to do. We are going to do a once-off special dispensation to clear the backlog of applications to make sure that, and then we're going to do the request for proposal going forward. I've already elaborated this particular slide in a previous slide, and then we will do the invitation. So the existing tenants whose leases have already expired, existing tenants whose lease agreements are still valid but will expire in the next 3 months, and existing tenants whose lease agreements are still valid for the foreseeable future, we will have to renegotiate with them to make sure that the leases are of market-related rentals. We have received a lot of applications previously unsolicited, and we will do a once-off dispensation to clear those applications as well, to make sure that we analyze them in terms of which category they fall in. If they are NGOs, we will use the new or the expanded Circular 135 to deal with them. But if it's still business, then we will follow the circular in terms of how do we deal with business that has applied for our properties. The RFP, I've already spoken to the RFP chairperson and honorable members, and then we will do this process. As I said, for now, we have cleared about 218 properties that will go out on tender in the next month or so. Out of the 5,000, understanding that the capacity constraints that we have as a department, we will be able to advertise everything all at once, and then we will advertise the properties as we clear them. And for now, we have cleared about 217 properties. In the evaluation process, we will look at the administrative compliance, obviously to make sure that everybody that has actually submitted their proposal, they meet the criteria that we would have set out according to our terms of reference. And then we'll do a credit risk and affordability assessment. This is especially for those ones that are planning or at least are proposing to do big investments. There are smaller applications where someone will just say, may I rent this house? I'll just fix it where it is broken, or and then they can take the process forward. So the issue of credit risk might not necessarily be a big issue. But for bigger projects like the ROT, as I've discussed before, we'll definitely have to check those credit and risk affordability assessments to minimize challenges going forward. And then we will evaluate the financial investment and transformation proposal. Like I said, we have government priorities that we need to meet, and we have a property empowerment policy that we also need to incorporate when we are doing the evaluations to make sure that we comply with such a policy. And that will be all, Chairperson, from my side. Thank you very much. Chairperson?
No, I thought maybe DM will add before I then invite honourable members. DM, you'll come in when we want your responses.
Well, Chair, I think that let's hear questions from the honourable members, and we will then provide responses if there are any questions. We will provide responses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, GM. Thank you, DDG. I'll now invite honourable members to raise their questions and comments on this presentation. Honourable Hicklin, you will be the first one. Honourable Graham Murray, the second one. Those that can raise their hands, they can indicate by just saying their names. Honourable Hicklin.
Thank you so much, Chair. I'm not going to put my video on only because we're having load shedding and I'm trying to operate off my dongle, so I'm conserving bandwidth, if you'll excuse me. Thank you so much, DDG. I'm looking at some residential properties more than at the presentation that you have made. I thank you so much for this. And I think it will be informative going forward. I raised a number of questions early on in 2021 with respect to properties that are in Tswane, which is slightly north of my area. I am from Gauteng, but there were specific properties that I raised questions with the minister regarding. Two were in Malherbe Street. There are a number of other properties, but the two particular ones that I raised, I am prepared to provide you with the exact addresses. I was told were going to be given or donated or whatever. There was going to be some arrangement with the Department of Social Development. This was back in March and May of 2021. Nothing has ever come of the arrangement with Social Development. And the properties are becoming more and more vandalized. Now, there are two NGOs that are desperate for these properties. How does one actually go about giving these properties, making them available to NGOs? The properties are so severely vandalized that they are mere shells now. But these NGOs still need these properties and want to make use of them. There was no reference to actually making donations to NGOs who could actually try and make use of them. I know you in the presentation you said that they could make applications. But we are just being vandalized to the extent that there was an old synagogue in Pretoria where promises were made through the Heritage Advisory Services and through the Arts and Culture Department that an Arts and Culture Center would be established at the old synagogue in Paul Kruger Street. As a heritage center, not only because it was the first synagogue built in Pretoria, but also that it was the site of the Rivonia treason trial. Yet again, absolutely nothing has been done about it. And the old synagogue is deteriorating again to such a dramatic extent. And absolutely nothing has been done except that the roof has been maintained. But that was done again in 2011, if memory serves me correctly, and nothing further has been done. And promises have been made by the department for some form of restoration being done on this, on these particular buildings. If I could get some commitment from the department that something can be done, and there have been offers of a public partnership working with the department to resurrect these buildings, because they are all of significance. I can supply you with all the information should you so require. I really would like to get something going on this. Thank you so much, GGG.
Honourable Graham Murray. Honorable Graham Murray, or maybe it's me, I can't hear her.
No, we can't hear Chairperson.
You're still on mute, Sam?
No, she's not on mute. Honorable Graham Murray, maybe you must switch off your video and only open your mic so that we can hear you. We have not heard a single word that you uttered. I suspect that she has load shedding where she is.
She's mute.
She's mute now, but before she was not. Honorable Graham Murray.
She's indicated that Honorable Sharome should go, Chair.
Oh, okay. We'll come back for her later on. Honorable Graham Murray, please look for an area where there is a better network. Honorable Frank Galway.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members, our DM, departmental staff, our support staff of Parliament. Chairperson, as we receive this presentation, I'm very much worried because for quite a number of years we sort of monitored this unused buildings, and we've raised the red flags with the department, and we find that it's either there's no monitoring of these buildings, or I'm not sure how to put it, but the buildings are deteriorating at a very fast pace, because we find now that we have buildings that's been unused for quite some time, who could have assisted in revenue generation for the department, which are now empty shells due to vandalization. But also, Chairperson, we find that as we spoke about this issue about the maintenance, routine maintenance of existing buildings, we find that if we receive the report today, that there's now a process of market-related rentals that needs to be instituted, whereas the department didn't play its part in terms of maintaining those buildings that's in use or that's up for rental. It's a little bit of a concern to me, which means that the amounts that that the buildings are worth or has been worth previously, like 5 years back, the state of the buildings has deteriorated so much that you can't really say that you keep it at that amount that it has already been valued for. So I think we need to look into that issue. And what I want to know from the department is if they are aware of the exact state of all the buildings that they are having, including those that they are letting out. Is there some kind of routine monitoring measures in place to check at least those buildings once a year, or how are they doing it to make sure that the buildings are being still being occupied, that the buildings are in a good state, and what is the state of the affairs of the different buildings. Then, Chairperson, when we look at the issue of the swapping of properties, that might be a good thing, but are we talking, when we speak about swapping of properties, that you will swap a property with another property from national to province or vice versa with the same value, or how are you dealing with that issue, or is it based on the needs, or what can we get some more clarification in terms of the swapping of properties? Then, Chairperson, I know that the minister and the department has been busy with this donation of properties for GBV and all kind of social programs. But when we look at NGOs and NPOs, I just want to caution the department, because you have really NGOs and NPOs who's really wanting to assist government in terms of social relief or social programs. But we might have unintended consequences in terms of that, whereby it's people who's like fronting, NGOs that's fronting for real investors, or people who has money, who want to capitalize or use that NGOs or NPOs to capitalize on those properties. And immediately after they get the properties, they transfer or use the capitalists are using it for business ventures or things like that to be profit making things. So I would like to know if they have measures in place to ensure that even though they're going to transfer those buildings or donate these buildings to NGOs and NPOs, that there is clauses in place to prohibit those buildings to be sold within a specific time frame or being used later on for profit-making initiatives. And maybe put in a clause that stipulates that the original transfer of the building is for this purpose, but in the event that the department become aware that it's not being used for that purpose or for profit making purpose, that's totally contrary to the original aim of the transfer of the building, that the building should be should be taken back to public works or something like that. And then there's also the issue, Chairperson, in terms of buildings that has already been transferred from national to provincial, and it's not being used properly or being looked after. Is there some kind of way to monitor those buildings to say that this was the original intention of transferring the or motivation that has been submitted in terms of transferring that buildings to local or to provincial, and now it seems as if it's not been used for the intended purpose. So this is what we're going to do. We need to return the buildings back to national so that they can see what they are doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Franz Kalvik. Honorable Grandmare, are you fine now?
I'm hoping so. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can this time. We can hear
okay.
you clearly.
I'm sorry. I normally check that everything's working before a meeting, but I was running a bit late this morning. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much to Ms. Makubele for the presentation. And I mean, obviously, you know, these unused properties and properties that are not generating sufficient income has been a bit of a bugbear for me from when we started. So I'm glad to see that there's some movement in this process. But I'm really concerned that this is just another nicely titled project that's going to go nowhere. I've just recently been looking through some of the presentations that were done in 2013, 2014, following the implementation of GIAMA and the department's attempts to get the immovable asset register up to date. And we're hearing exactly the same stories, the same excuses, the same issues that were raised in meetings in 2013, 2014 with respect to not being able to find all the properties, not knowing where all the properties are, awaiting physical verification of properties. Ms. Makubele didn't mention that there's massive amounts of unsurveyed land that still exists that nobody even knows who that belongs to, who the properties are assigned to, whether or not they're public works properties. So while this is great for dealing with a lot of what we've got already, we still don't know everything we've got and the extent to which we have properties around the country. So a huge amount of work still needs to be done. And we've also recently heard again that new mechanisms are going to be put into place to manage the immovable asset register. So that is a huge concern. And then one of the questions I have is that about a year ago, I came across something that referenced a letting out document. We were trying to assist the Seal Rescue Center in Heart Bay to get a lease on a section of the Heart Bay Harbour, because they perform a function that nobody else performs, that they're an NGO, and they were panicking because they had been subletting a property at the Heart Bay Harbour. And we were informed that it would be done according to the letting out document, and that this document had mechanisms in place for letting out for NGOs, and that they would be following that process. I've been requesting that document for a year now, and I still haven't seen it. I recently asked a question about a property in the Northwest called the Ruswip. It's in Ruswip. It's a shooting range. It has always been a shooting range. A shooting club existed there. It's owned by Public Works. People there who own a gun shop, who've got an indoor shooting range, who assist the SAPs in that area, have been trying to lease this Ruswip shooting range for 4 years. I put in a question recently, and one of the responses was this: National Treasury put procurement processes on hold. The bid specification was finalized in August 2022 and is currently with the Bid Adjudication Committee for approval. Once approved, the RFP shall be advertised accordingly. They received an unsolicited bid, but it couldn't be processed as an open bid. So the property is being absolutely decimated. It says here the department has initiated the process of safeguarding the property. We are spending 15 million rand a year on security on empty properties that are owned by the department. And even when they are getting offers from people that are prepared to pay market-related rental, that are prepared to fix the property, and I did oversight of the property. It has been absolutely destroyed, and apparently it's even worse now. The buildings have been carried away brick by brick. The toilets have been stolen. There's literally nothing left. These people are prepared to take on the property foot-to-foot and go with it and provide a service to the police in that area, who now have to travel an hour or two to Potchefstroom to keep their gun competency licenses in place. And the department just is blocking it. I don't understand why there's this resistance to dealing with people, to allowing people to do what needs to be done. That's one of the issues. Waterloo Green in Wynberg in the Western Cape, there are three houses on that property. They are full to the brim with homeless people who have literally destroyed every property there. They now have full-time security on the property. When we did oversight there, one of the ladies who was part of our oversight team, who's a community member, recognized the man who had mugged her the week before, and he's living on that property. There was a murder there a couple of weeks ago. I've raised this with the department. They've got a security guard on there, but why are we protecting a property? There have been offers from the local schools to buy the property because they need to extend their campuses. And again, nobody comes back, nobody responds, there's no commitment. It's not market-related, there's no engagement. So there has to be a better engagement process with the department so that we can start getting rid of the properties that are causing a headache, start getting rid of properties that we are having to monitor and secure that are still being vandalized and stolen. These are heritage buildings, and they still, we were promised last year, or was it early this year, that in April, that those properties were scheduled for demolition. Nothing has happened. Then we heard, no, they can't be demolished because they're heritage buildings. So there seems to be very little appetite for keeping our properties in a good state, which GIAMA requires, by the way. We keep referring to GIAMA. GIAMA requires that all our properties are kept in a state that they can provide for service delivery. We're not doing that. Village of Hope in Hartbeespoort Dam, they applied years ago for a piece of land in Hartbeespoort. It was signed off by Minister Mazie, who said he approves the project and the transfer of that land to these people. When I raised it with the minister, our current minister, she said, no, it was never agreed to transfer the property. They've already started building on that property on the undertaking of Minister Mazie, and now the whole thing is stalled. So there just seems to be this lack of consistent approach to anything. Years ago, they brought in Operation Take Back. That was to deal with properties that had been unlawfully occupied, unlawfully sold. There was going to be a deeds registry verification process where they were looking for anomalies. We haven't heard anything about Operation Take Back, I think, since we came into Parliament. And then you look at properties like 11 Mile End Road in Deep River that has been unlawfully occupied. There are now two security guards on there as a result of our intervention, because people approached me to say that the people living in the area were very stressed because this is in a residential area. There's an NPO that has requested that they take it over to start a school for disabled children. No response from anybody. Bongweni Airport Park in East London. The takeover of that property has been so extreme that there are now mansions built on this property. There is deforestation of the indigenous forest in the area. They've established a school there that the Department of Education is paying teachers and principals to run, that they are operating out of shacks, and they have stopped scholar transport from that area to another area because now there's a school established in a completely unlawfully occupied part of East London. It's at the end of the runway. Cattle are now, because they're breaking down fences, and cattle are now going onto the runway, so it's becoming a hazard. And just, there's an intergovernmental task team report that I've read. It's 100 pages. And basically, there's still no way of dealing with this. And we know from the report that we received from our researcher that there are a massive number of unlawfully occupied properties from the department side. Knopflok's Kraal is another example. And that property was earmarked for a forestry reserve. There has been wholesale illegal land invasions there, and we know it's politically motivated, and that has been proven. However, that being said, the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries is now going to thank you, Ms. Makubele, I see your message. The Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment is now saying that they've now cancelled their project because the extent of the land invasions there are so bad that for them to now relocate those people is going to be too costly an exercise. So an entire forestry project that could have brought work to that area, that could have brought jobs, and that was obviously working towards environment, forestry, and fisheries, has now been cancelled because of the unlawful occupation of the Knopflok's Kraal site. So we have a huge issue around our own management of our existing properties. And the longer we don't deal with this, the worse the degradation is, the worse the opportunities are for development, job creation, and all the other things that we're trying to achieve. So while I welcome the fact that we have this, my other concern is that it seems to be like a sort of once-off thing with a time frame and a deadline. Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Will NPOs, NGOs, and interested private people be able to approach the department and say, listen, there is a property there, it suits my needs, is there any option for us to discuss? A few years ago when I first started, a guy approached me, he wanted to set up a whole restoration of old vehicles, vintage cars project in Tshwane. And when we approached the department, they were like, well, yeah, you know, we're using that site for storage. We don't really have anywhere else to store our stuff, so we're not interested. And it was an ideal site. It would have generated a market-related rental for the department. And literally, that guy then had to go and find something else. So we need to create a better environment for people to be able to approach the department and say, I've seen that property. It's not being used. It's not being effectively maintained. You're spending money on security for it. Can't we come to some sort of agreement? And I know that there are obviously National Treasury guidelines, and I know that there are PFMA processes that have to be followed, but we have to find a way of finding each other so that our properties are being properly looked after and utilized, and that people are getting access to these opportunities. I think I've said more than enough, so thank you very much.
Thank you. In the absence of hands, let me just raise let me appreciate the talks to what we requested as the portfolio committee. But to me, the presentation doesn't talk to what you have said on ensuring that some of these buildings are safe in a way that the department is able to cut on costs of renting properties for other departments. That is the first thing. The second thing is that in the presentation, in what Ms. Nyeleti was saying, that they would then ask for people, NGOs, to come and say a request for whatever. But that thing is not new. They've been doing it, but you don't know where it ends. And again, we raised this not once but several times, pointing out, as you know, that we're coming from constraints, raising that I indicated in this meeting that there are properties in Kumbu, Eastern Cape, where I'm coming from, properties that used to accommodate the magistrates. It's not only in Kumbu, it's even in other towns. I checked and I found out that those properties belong to Department of Public Works nationally. In Kumbu, that property had a roof, had a fence, but now that property has no roof, has no fence. And I even asked Minister, why don't you donate these properties to the municipality? Some of the small municipalities even lack space for their offices. Why can't the department donate those properties especially those that are still in good condition, to the local municipalities, especially when the municipalities is indicating that it would like to have that property so that it can utilize it as its offices. But is the state of that building now, it's in shambles. I don't want to lie to you, it's in shambles. At the time, it had the windows, the roof, the fencing. Now, there's nothing, it's just the walls. I'm talking about something that I said in 2019, and in 2022, it's in that state. But also, one of the issues with Department of Social Development, I think we were informed of a number of safe houses that the department was donating to social development as part of the safe houses. I even attended one handover with Minister in Gauteng. But that project, it's silenced now. I don't know whether it stopped or social development got all those properties or what exactly is happening in that. It's another way of disposing. I am also concerned with NGOs and NPOs given a preference, because we know that those NGOs and NPOs, some of them are fronting for business people that want to develop that land to rake serious money. So I think whatever you do on that one, you must look at it with fine comb. There must be strict rules and regulations on how to take that property, how many years, because you'll see today it's given to an NPO today, tomorrow it's a mall, and a mall that has a 99 years list. So it's serious. So you must look at those things. With those few words, DM and your team, over to you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me appreciate the comments and the words of wisdom and caution from the honorable members, as well as the questions. In as much as I would have loved to give over to Ms. Makubele to respond, but I think there are just one or two prefaces that I must mean. Which are more general. She will apply her mind and responses to the specific areas. The first one is the one on swapping of property with municipalities or with other spheres of government. Or handing over, for that matter. We do have and do experience such problems where a municipality requests a property to utilize a property for its own or for development of this area. And we have currently cases in court where such a municipality was given a piece of land. The municipality then sells the land to a private developer, whereas the agreement or the deed of transfer that we have signed together with the municipality clearly indicates that we are giving you this piece of land because you said you want to do 1, 2, 3. In the event that you are unable to do this, you will bring back to us the ownership. And municipalities tend to overlook this and look for a kickback from developers. Now, where such has happened, we have had to keep or to hold on onto the title deed of that property. And hence there are now cases in court, because those private developers can't get the title deeds from the municipalities. We believe that there should be honesty in the transfer of these properties, especially where it is it was not for sale. And we believe that a private developer who is interested, our systems are open, they are public, they are regulated by law. If a public developer wants a piece of land, they can apply to the department. And the policy and the circular that Ms. Makubele has been referring to is available to guide such processes. And therefore, in this one, I'm trying to cover the concerns from Honorable Van Schalkwyk to say, when we do the swapping and when we do the transfer, we do state, especially when it is public to public, we do state in the agreement that if you do not utilize this land, for we've reduced it even more now, especially for such departments as human settlements, because we would give over a piece of land to human settlements and no development will take place for 10 years and beyond 10 years. And you find then people starting to do the invasions and the kind of troubles that we have with what happens in the properties. And therefore we have agreed to reduce the time to say, if you do not do anything as the department within the next 5 years, we will then withdraw this agreement. So there is that those measures that are inbuilt in the system. And indeed, the fronting that the honorable members are concerned with, it's something that does happen. But I must say that with what you are raising, Honorable Chair, on the properties that we are giving over to social development, when we do this transfer to social development, we do it at a point where social development must be ready, both financially and with the necessary resources to manage that center with the GPV sites. So it's not something we just take a property and give over. It's something we negotiate to say, where is the greatest need, and are you ready as social development, even in provinces, to manage this? Because it will be a sad day if we hand over a property to the department and the department is not ready to make it work through the purpose and intention for which it was handed over. So we do this by agreements, those handing overs. They are still continuing. There is a report on how far we are. We can provide that if members so request. I thought I needed to just remove that part to say, as we do the transferring, we do secure that and ensure that the best we can, that there is no, one would say, corruption that takes place, because for me, fronting is one form of corruption. I will go give over to Ms. Makubele to deal with the others, and we'll come back later after she's responded. With your permission, Chair. Thank you.
May I come through, Chairperson?
Please continue.
All right, thank you. Thank you, honorable members, for the comments and the questions. I have on the platform the project manager who is responsible for this program, Mr. Solin Chwane. He will assist me with the response, how we're going to deal with the NPOs to avoid abuse of the system. It's something that has bothered us as well as the department, and we were trying to find ways how best to deal with it. Honorable Hicklin and Honorable Graham Murray, I've already sent you my email address to request that you send the specific cases to me. And then my team and I will sit down and see what is the blockage for each individual case. I may not have the answers with me here today, but we will definitely go through the list of the properties that you've raised, and then we'll find out what the problem is and what we're going to do about that. And then there's a specific question from Honorable Graham Murray about the Operation Bring Back project. That project is underway. It's two pronged. There's a process that was followed by the SIU. We actually recently been informed that the SIU has successfully won the case to return the about three properties that were illegally transferred. One of the properties, I think it's the one where we were supposed to build the Pan-African Parliament, and that property was successfully won back over. But as a branch, we also have a project that we're going to do where we're going to seek out these properties. This is based on the project that was done, I think, in 2017, 2018, where about, I think, 1,200 properties were identified as having been illegally occupied or transferred or stolen, and those are the properties that we're going to try and recover as a department. Like I said, the SIU is ahead of us because they were doing those specific bigger projects, and they have successfully transferred, I think, won the case to transfer back about three properties. But it's a project that is going on. Is this project of One Secular 135 going to go? It is an ongoing project. It's not a once-off project. We, like I said, we have 1,000 properties. We can only handle about 200, 300 properties at a time because of capacity constraints, obviously. So we are definitely going to continue going forward, and maybe not also limited to the 5,000. It's what we know now, based on what our asset register says. So as and when we identify more properties, the project definitely will continue. Honorable Van Stafbeek, I think I agree with you. Most of these problems are problems that we have known for a long time as a department, and we were very reactive in dealing with them in terms of us finding out that the property has been invaded and then sending security or trying to evict those invasions. But that was reactionary from our side. Hence, now we're trying to do a strategy that is somewhat proactive and will relieve the department the burden of having to pay for properties. Like, we're spending a lot of money on security, like Honorable Graham Murray has said, and that's what we're trying to achieve with this circular. But we agree all the statements that you make are true, and that is what we're trying to rectify, Honorable. And then the swapping of properties, I think the DM has tried to cover that, but we try as much as we can to have fair value or similar value. Maybe the similar value may not necessarily be monetary, but in terms of what is it that we want to do in that particular property, then the value may be realized at a later stage. I think from the chairperson and Honorable Van Schaikwijk, the issue of the GBDF properties has come up. We are actually at the tail end of the process in that the properties have been identified, the properties have been refurbished by the department. Some properties have been taken. I think there were, I think it's Salvacorp in Gauteng, but the rest of the properties are not yet done because we still have to finalize the memorandum of understanding between the two departments, between ourselves and social department. There is also a process that the social development department is also requesting that we do to permanently dispose these properties to them. And that's a different discussion altogether, but it's a process that we're still working on. And as a department, we are ready to hand them over as soon as the administrative issues are dealt with. Do we know the state of the properties, the various buildings from Honorable Van Schaikwijk? We have a branch that is responsible for this, which is called the Facilities Management Branch. They have a program to do conditions assessments for us. Conditions assessments are usually a laborious process and a very expensive process, so we try to do it as in-house as possible. And when we do that, obviously it takes a longer time than it would if we were to be able to outsource. GIAMA requires that we do this every 5 years, and it is not financially it's not yet feasible, but we do send out teams to do conditions assessment for us. The property in Kungu, from the chairperson, we have a challenge as a department where we give properties to client departments such as justice for them to house their officials like magistrates or defense or subs, but when they leave those properties, they simply just leave without notifying the department, and we only found out after the fact that the properties have been vacated for a period and now they have been vandalized. But I will look into that specific matter with my colleagues in the Eastern Cape and find out what we are doing about that specific property. Soli, can you come through and deal with the fears that honorable members are raising regarding the NPO and NGOs? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Makubela. Thank you, DM, for the explanation and the response to all. Are there any follow-up questions on our members on who want to add?
Chairperson, Ms. Makubele was indicating that Soli is going to deal with some of the questions. Soli,
okay, that's why his mic was on. Okay. Mr. Ngwane?
Soli, come through, please.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, DM, and good morning, DDG. Thank you, DDG. In terms of the process that will be involved in terms of dealing with a non-profit organization, I think actually by the Act Number 71 of 1997, Organizations Act that particular act provides a procedure under which a non-profit organization can be registered. And one of the key elements is that a non-profit organization must have a constitution. And in the constitution, they must define the intended goals of the NGO and how the NGO will be conducting business. One of the key factors also is the accounting records and reports. It compels the NGO to
provide this accounting record and report
on an annual basis. And
Mr. Nwane, we can't hear you. Your line is so bad. CTM, we have challenges with the response of Mr. Nwane. I think you also experienced that yourself.
Yes. No. Let me take over from here, Chair, and respond to your question on the cutting of costs. We do repurpose some of our buildings with a view to cut cost contracting for departments. One example, just now, about a few weeks back, I was here in Johannesburg, where old flats that were utilized as residential properties for SAPs, which got kind of dilapidated, those properties are now, I mean, that property is now, it has been repurposed. It's now the most beautiful police station with ample space for police to do their work in a meaningful way. It's also very user friendly in terms of compliance with disability needs. It looks now like a modern building, and therefore we do, there is that work where we repurpose, we remove police where they were renting space into the space that now we have. It's just a project that has just been finished. And there are others across the country, but it's just that I think we needed to make these examples of these areas. But also on the question of I think I dealt with the question of unintended consequences as were raised by Honorable Franz Kalkin, that we do try and insert clauses in the agreements that will prohibit such unintended consequences. But I do want to indicate or invite honorable members, because the report does indicate that the amount of buildings and properties that we are dealing with are in tens of thousands. Now, we can't know or what is happening in each. But when I'm taking now the invitation from Honorable Graham Mare of the need to find each other. That when members are doing their constituency work and you come across these, please do write to my office, the minister's office, and it's good that Nyeleti has also submitted an email address. Write to us. Just now, Zimvubu municipality, if I can make another example, Chairperson, Zimvubu municipality says to me, DM, we're interacting with your department since 2013. In 2017, there was agreement from Honorable Minister Ngwesi that we would swap a piece of land for a police station, for a taxi rank, sorry. We will swap a piece of land behind the police station for a taxi rank with yourselves. And there's no movement. And as we speak now, there's interaction. And I'm monitoring that does happen. And I'm therefore also would want to, for honorable members, as you do your constituency work, where you meet such, where municipality is struggling with this and that, please just write to us so that we can do the necessary monitoring and the necessary follow-ups. I think I've covered what I needed to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM. I don't know whether Mr. Ngwane now is in a better place or we just close this matter. Mr. Ngwane, are you back? No, he's not yet back. Thank you again, DM, for that explanation that you have just given. I think it will also assist some of us in talking to our consciences and to the people that are interested in the areas. I heard what you said about the municipalities, especially the land. I know property, you talk of land, you talk of buildings. But in my case, I was referring to buildings. We will talk to the municipality on what route to follow if they want this. But it must also be written down that we're giving you the land. We are not expecting you to sell this land. We're donating it to you to build municipal offices or to do whatever, but not to sell it to developers. Thank you again, DM and your team, for such a presentation. Ms. Martinez, now invite you to deal with the second item of our business today. Ms. Martinez?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, we are saying that let's deal with the second part of our items today, that of dealing with the minutes.
I'm just trying to open it here now. Please hold on for a bit.
Okay, thank you.
Whilst Ms. Martinez is loading chair, the officials of the department are asking if they should remain on the platform. Or should they?
They can be reduced. No, we are through with the department now. We are going to deal with our own issues as the portfolio committee.
Okay.
So you may be released.
I hope it's visible, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not yet. Not yet on my side. I don't know other members, but we do have the copy.
Is it visible now, Chairperson?
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Before I got kicked out, unfortunately, I do apologize for that. We are now dealing with the minutes of the meeting that was held yesterday, which was the 20th of September, where the committee dealt with the consideration and adoption of the expropriation bill report and the minutes of the previous meetings. So I just would like to check if members are satisfied with the register as presented. And then the apologies of Honorable Siwisa and Mr. Dunason were also noted and recorded. So on the expropriation bill report, Honorable Mjobo, seconded by Honorable Graham Murray, move for the adoption of the minutes. And obviously it has been captured that the DA and the ACDP highlighted that they were not in support of the report, but they were in support of the report, but not the bill itself. The EFF had already indicated its dissatisfaction with the whole entire bill. Then moving to the consideration and adoption of minutes, minutes of the 31st of August and the meeting of the 14th of September were adopted and were considered and adopted. Then Honorable Thring dealt with general matters, the issue of ESCOM and load shedding. That should be all from my side, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honourable members, the minutes for our yesterday's meeting, may I then get a mover that those minutes are the true reflection of what we discussed yesterday? And a mover and a second. Honourable members?
Chair, I propose that we drop them.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Mashele.
Maybe before that, can Nola flag the minutes back so that one captures what she's saying about the DA and the EFF?
All right, not a problem. Let me quickly highlight it so that it can be visible to everyone.
Yeah, no, I think a proper reflection of the minute must remove what you are saying about the EFF. It's fine. We know their view, but they were not there in yesterday's meeting. So it would be wrong for us to assume what they have said in the meeting. That is in order, according to me. I move that. I support what Graham Murray has proposed. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Mashele. Then we adopt those minutes with the amendment that Honorable Mashele has effected. Any announcements?
No further announcements from my side, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Thank you again, Honorable Members, for a fruitful, constructive portfolio committee meeting that we had today. Your insightful discussions when we're dealing with the issue of the properties of the department is always welcome. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Good day, everybody.
Have a good day.
Recording stopped.
Good day.